Hello there, my name is David Poole and I'm the Associate Editor representing the Journal of Applied Physiology. We're going to discuss a recently published paper entitled Home-Based Aerobic Exercise Training Improves Skeletal Muscle Oxidative Metabolism in Patients with Metabolic Myopathies. The authors are from Italy. They are Drs. Simone Porcelli, Mauro Mazzorati, Lucia Morandi and Bruno Grassi. Dr. Simone Porcelli, who is a researcher at the Institute of Biomedical and Molecular Physiology at the Italian National Research Council in Segrate, Italy, will present his team. Our expert discussant is Dr. Alessandra Adami, an exercise specialist who is currently a postdoctoral fellow in the Division of Respiratory and Critical Care Physiology and Medicine in Los Angeles Biomedical Research Institute at Harbor UCLA Medical Center in California. Simone, let's open up with me asking you please to provide us with a brief description of these patients and outline the key findings of your investigation, with particular attention to letting us know how this helps us understand and lessen the disease burden in these patients.
Metabolic myopathies are a heterogeneous group of genetic disorders characterized by a problem of the main pathways of energy provision in skeletal muscle fibers. In this study, we recruited patients with mitochondrial myopathies and patients with myophosphorylase deficiency or McArdle disease, two forms of these myopathies in which the genetic defect significantly impairs the oxidative metabolism. In these patients, reduced exercise tolerance and easy fatigability are often the main symptoms and may significantly affect the patient's quality of life. In previous studies, we applied non-invasive functional evaluation methods developed in the exercise physiology in order to identify and quantify oxidative impairment. In the present study, we applied these same methods to evaluate the effect of a home-based exercise training intervention 4 days a week for 12 weeks, and the exercise intensity was moderate. In summary, we observed an increased maximal oxygen consumption, a faster pulmonary oxygen uptake kinetics, a decreased amplitude of the slow component of oxygen kinetics, a decreased oxygen cost of cycling, and an increased capacity to increase fractional oxygen extraction by skeletal muscles. These improvements were associated with signs suggesting an enhanced exercise tolerance, such as a decreased heart rate or a decreased rate of perceived exertion during constant work rate exercise. Surprisingly, the improvement of exercise tolerance obtained by training program did not determine an increase in habitual level of physical activity. So indeed, total energy expenditure determined by an advanced multisensor device were during 3 consecutive days was not different before versus after training.
Alessandra, could you please remind us of the challenges facing these patients and how this paper might lead to improved patient outcomes, and summarize what you felt also were the most important findings of this paper?
As Simone briefly introduced to us, these muscle disorders arise from a genetic defect that impair oxidative metabolism. In particular, McArdle patients are incapable of generating ATP from anaerobic glycolysis, and as a consequence, they cannot satisfy the energy demands of the cell. Both these myopathies develop during childhood or early adulthood, and patients usually experience symptoms similar to an athlete's muscle fatigue, but without having performance strenuous exercise. So patients usually report easy fatigability, exercise intolerance, and muscle pain. Patients affected by McArdle disease can also manifest muscle injuries during the first minutes of exercise, and sometimes can result in a more severe condition called rhabdomyolysis. It occurs in around 50% of the patient and causes the release of breakdown products from damaged muscle cells into the bloodstreams. And that's why we speak about darkened urine, which is a sign of severe muscle injury and usually requires medical attention. I think that there are two real strengths of the paper by Porcelli and co-workers. The first one was on the confirmation that moderate intensity exercise programs are beneficial for both these disorders. And the second strength is on the applicability of near-infrared spectroscopy as a tool to assess muscle functionality and to show the presence of mitochondrial adaptation before and after training by comparing the changes in the oxyhemoglobin myoglobin. I agree with what is already asserted by Bonin colleagues in a paper published a few years ago and what Porcelli and his co-workers showed in their paper that near-infrared spectroscopy can be used for screening and functional evaluation of McArdle disease and mitochondrial myopathies patients. So we can avoid recurring visit assessment like biopsies that are typical, but it should not be considered a diagnostic tool for metabolic myopathy patients.
Simone, you demonstrated beautifully that these patients increased their maximal oxygen uptake, they had faster oxygen uptake kinetics, they improved their exercise efficiency, and they could also extract more of the oxygen going to their muscles. Could you please tell us what you think is the basis for this improved extraction of oxygen within the muscles? How plastic are they in their structure and function?
Thanks for the question. Improve oxygen delivery may be one determinant. Indeed, exercise training, it is known to increase cardiac output as well as capillary density within working muscle in healthy subjects. However, analysis of capillaries in skeletal muscle of these patients reveal that overall capillary levels are greater compared to age and sex-matched sedentary control subjects. On the other side, increased oxidative capacity of skeletal muscle should be involved. And if this would be the case, it should be noted that in this patient, training may have a quite different effect from the usually described effect in normal subject, which is usually increased capacity of oxygen delivery, and may affect positively the key pathophysiological mechanism responsible for the disease. Moreover, a better matching between intramuscular oxygen delivery and oxygen uptake, as shown by the decreased overshoot in fractional oxygen extraction in our paper, should also be considered, such as also the faster oxygen uptake kinetics and the disappearance of the slow component VO2 kinetics.
How close are these values, the NIRS values of muscle deoxygenation that you showed, I think 30 to 40% after training in these patients, how close did that get to their normal healthy counterparts?
And we usually consider normal peak skeletal muscle fractional oxygen extraction of at least 65% of the maximum obtained during a transient ischemia of the lower limb. In this study, for example, metabolic myopathies patients and McArdle patients show a very low or extremely low, sometimes zero, peak skeletal muscle fractional oxygen extraction capacity before training, and it was about 50% after the training.
Simone, can you comment on the implications of the increased exercise efficiency, the ability of these patients to do more work with less oxygen?
The take-home message should be that exercise training increases exercise efficiency. And I think that at least in part, it was guaranteed by a better metabolic stability.
Alessandra, why do you think these patients afterwards did not have an increased physical activity level in their daily lives, given that the ability to transport, utilize oxygen and do work is increased so much?
I was not surprised that after the 3 months of regular exercise, they were not able to induce a behavioral change. And I think that combining exercise training with behavioral counseling session or group support or self-monitoring of physical activity is the way to go to increase sensibly the possibility to reach long-lasting change in everyday physical activity behavior. So I think that the step forward for Porcelli or people that work with metabolic myopathy is to combine moderate intensity exercise training with perhaps behavioral modification therapy.
Simone, could you please tell us a little about the second wind phenomenon these patients may experience during exercise?
The second wind phenomenon is one of the most typical features of McArdle disease. It is characterized by a sudden decrease in heart rate and improvement of exercise tolerance, usually after about 8 minutes of aerobic dynamic exercise, such as walking or cycling. I think that an interesting feature of this unusual physiological response to exercise is that the second wind can be induced by the administration of oral glucose or, as we have demonstrated by another recent paper, by brief and not long recovery during consecutive submaximal constant work rate exercises.
Given that in heart failure patients, an increase in maximal oxygen uptake of the order that you've shown here would be associated with a significant reduction in morbidity and mortality in those patients, could we expect the same, do you think, as a long-term outcome of these adaptations?
For sure, our intervention should affect the morbidity of these patients. For example, in reducing the cardiovascular events or similar, which are usually the most important cause of death in these patients.
Simone, could you tell us where you're headed next with related lines of investigation? What are the most pressing questions?
We are now investigating the effects of a combination of exercise training and diet intervention in patients with a similar disease, which is the late onset POMP disease, which is a glycogenosis of type 2, in which there is a deficiency of the lysosomal acid maltase, the enzyme which catalyzes the hydrolysis of glycogen. In the patient that we are evaluating, there is a progressive muscle weakness that can also affect pulmonary function. And the aim of the study is to evaluate the combination of exercise training, which we have demonstrated that should be effective in this patient, with a diet intervention.
Alessandro, do you have any closing comments?
I congratulate Simone and his co-worker on this very interesting study that I think strengthens the importance of regular physical exercise and the positive changes that lead from it in McArdle disease and mitochondrial myopathies patients. Feeling also lucky in the literature on the reliability of aerobic exercise training, especially in McArdle disease. I will be interested in seeing large and multicenter study designed to better understand the mechanism involved in skeletal muscle dysfunction in these patients.
Simone, any closing comments for us?
I think that this study shows that the home-based exercise training program is safe and effective also in this kind of patient. And I think that the take-home message for the clinician should be this one. At the same point, I think that the take-home message for the exercise physiology should be that the analysis of the physiological and bioenergetic adaptation to exercise in patients with metabolic myopathies represents an interesting model to investigate in vivo the regulation of basic physiological processes.
I'd like to thank both of our participants, Simone and Alessandra. I think this study emphasizes why the Nobel Prize is given for physiology or medicine, because this is a beautiful blend of how physiology can inform medicine.